You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Wednesday, September 24th. You'll hear first today from KMUN news volunteer Sylvia Thorpe.
The Trump administration is imposing a $100,000 fee per visa application for highly skilled workers. These H-1B visas normally go to technology companies, but as Kyra Buckley reports, Nike might be the most affected in Oregon.
Year after year, Nike is the top beneficiary of H-1B visas in Oregon. Government data shows Oregon employers have secured around 885 visas so far this year, and about 225 went to Nike. On Sunday, the Trump administration started charging a $100,000 fee for new H-1B visa applications. A Nike spokesperson says the company is watching the move closely but declined to comment further. Trump officials argue companies are misusing the program to take away jobs from Americans. Economic research shows H-1B visa workers help support economic growth. I'm Kyra Buckley reporting.
Oregon's U.S. Senators Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley are co-sponsoring new legislation that would reverse the Trump administration's decision to terminate the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Extreme Weather Database. In their announcement yesterday, the lawmakers say the NOAA Extreme Weather Database has been vital to keeping families, researchers, and policymakers informed on the cost of natural disasters. Senator Merkley said Trump's move to terminate NOAA's extreme weather tracker will only add to the devastation communities face. He added that having a complete understanding of the cost of natural disasters allows for smarter decisions about how to make infrastructure more resilient. Since 1980, NOAA has maintained a database of all weather disasters in the United States, totaling at least $1 billion in damage. In 2024, the United States experienced 27 individual weather and climate disasters that totaled more than $182 billion in damages. Clatsop County is set to receive over $1 million in state funding for emergency preparedness and response equipment. The funds are coming from Oregon's Response Equipment Grant Program. Clatsop County Emergency Management Director Justin Gibbs says it was a tremendous outcome that every request the county submitted for the grant was approved. Gibbs says some of the new equipment will include drones for the Sheriff's Office and Gearhart Fire Department, as well as large trailer-mounted generators for Astoria. Gearhart Fire Chief Josh Como said the new drone his department is getting will allow for more effective missing persons searches and could also play a key role in preventing wildfires. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. A Spokane native is working with Ukrainian officials to build human rights cases against Russian soldiers and others. Kristen Blickert is a Whitworth University graduate who works as a lawyer with Global Rights Compliance. That's a non-governmental organization that consults with prosecutors on war crimes. She's based in Kyiv.
All of our work involves the war. It's shellings, it's occupation-related crimes. Russian soldiers would do things like rape or torture or et cetera. And that's the nexus of those are the crimes that we're prosecuting. So not like your normal theft, murder.
Blickert says she also works human trafficking cases. She says Russia has kidnapped thousands of Ukrainian children into Russia. Though her group doesn't try the cases, she says her organization works with the families that are the victims of those crimes. Glacier Peak, northeast of Seattle, is sometimes called Washington's forgotten volcano. It's hard to see from the I-5 corridor, unlike Mount Rainier or Mount Baker. The ice that gives Glacier Peak its name is disappearing. KUOW's John Ryan found out why that overlooked ice matters to people living downstream.
I'm sitting on the shady banks of the White Chuck River outside of Darrington in the Cascades. The river looks like chocolate milk. This isn't some kind of pollution problem. This river starts about 10 miles east of here, up on Glacier Peak. Runoff from all the glaciers up there carries very fine sediment. All that silty glacial runoff keeps rivers like this one flowing and cool, even after a long summer drought.
In late August, most water in the White Chuck River is glacial melt. That frigid water flows down into the Sauk River, then into the Skagit, Puget Sound's biggest producer of salmon. But all around the Northwest, the benefits that glaciers provide are going away.
The amount of water in the White Chuck River is declining, particularly late in the summer.
Maury Pelto has been studying the glaciers of the North Cascades for more than 40 years. He's a professor at Nichols College in Massachusetts. Every summer, he tromps through Cascades glacier country.
The first time I was on the White Chuck Glacier in the 1980s, it was a beautiful ski, probably a mile-long ski. There's no snow, no ice anywhere along that one-mile ski run that I had. So now, instead of this big, huge ice cube sitting there melting every day all summer long, you just have bare rock yielding no runoff.
Pelto expects that glacier to be gone in the next 20 years. A warming climate and hotter summers in particular have eaten away at the glaciers of the Cascades. Pelto says the past five summers have been really bad for ice.
We're just watching essentially the collapse of the glacier system. It's just so evident just because the change has been so fast.
As the ice dwindles, ecosystems and people downstream have started to feel the effects.
You make the T sound? T-da-ko-ba-ba.
That's Sauk Suwatl Historic Preservation Officer Mary Porter saying the Lushootseed name for Glacier Peak. She says the peak isn't visible from the tribal reservation near Darrington, but it is sacred ground.
All these glaciers around us are habitat for the mountain goats. And, you know, without the mountain goats and salmon, we wouldn't exist. Our destiny is tied to the salmon and the mountain goats.
Sauk Suwatl officials say they've noticed low flows this summer in one of the tribe's key fishing rivers.
Because I'm a fisherman, I do know that the Cascade River where we fish is extremely low. It's a little disturbing to see.
All of Washington State has been experiencing drought this summer, with 80% of the state in severe or extreme drought. Chad Brown works on water quality at the Department of Ecology.
It's not the worst year that we've had in the last 20 years, but it is one of the warmer and lower flow years.
That warm water is bad for salmon.
When you have a very warm summer matched with lower flows that come out of the mountains, you can have much more dire issues with temperature in the water bodies.
When a stream gets too warm, officials aim to cool it back down. Usually that means shade.
The goal is to have the highest, tallest vegetation as possible, but even shrubs can help.
The pollution that is overheating the planet has proved harder to control. Maury Pelto says glacier researchers all over the world see the impacts in melting ice.
The same thing's happening in New Zealand, it's happening in the Alps, it's happening in the Andes, Alaska, British Columbia. So it's the same story everywhere, so it is a global warming.
Back on the White Chuck River, at least one salmon is swimming invisibly in the milky glacial water. Only its dorsal fin pops up from time to time. Washington salmon have to hold on for maybe a month before autumn rains return to help rivers rise and water temperatures fall to levels salmon can thrive in. I'm John Ryan reporting.
You are listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at KMUN.org.